The music of the late Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sangeet Ananda, has always lived somewhat in the shadows cast by her husband, jazz giant John Coltrane. It didn't help that she gave up her career as a keyboardist, harpist, and composer to become a spiritual leader. But NPR's Anastasia Siolkas reports that some of her Hindu-inspired recordings have just been released commercially for the first time, and a concert featuring that music is taking place tonight in New York.
Alice and John Coltrane were only together for 4 years before he died of liver cancer in 1967. But they shared a deep spiritual connection, says one of their sons, saxophonist, composer, and bandleader Ravi Coltrane.
I think they had a strong sense of this higher power and a higher function for us all. And it's hard to say who influenced the other more. Clearly, my father didn't live long enough to travel to India and pursue all of his spiritual goals, but my mother did.
His father's legacy was enormous. At the time, jazz was nearly completely dominated by male players, and Alice's own music was experimental, to say the least. Even so, she made a string of albums for major jazz labels in the 1960s and 70s. But Alice Coltrane was already gravitating to another path. She withdrew from her professional career to pursue her spirituality. She founded an ashram near Los Angeles. She took on a Sanskrit name, Turiya Sangeet Ananda, which she translated as the Transcendental Lord's Highest Song of Bliss. Her students called her Swamini, teacher. And Ravi Coltrane says she was something else, too.
I called her mom. That seemed to work for me.
He points out that she was raising 4 kids as a single mother while heading her spiritual community. But she still made music.
She played music in the house every day. I'd come home from school and she'd be at the piano or at the organ playing these quiet sort of hymns. Music was such a big part of her life, and she found this way to combine it with her spiritual slash religious goals. And she made this music essentially for her students, just to kind of document the songs that they had been using for worship, and she was at it all the time.
Now, a decade after her death, some of the recordings she made in the ashram have been released.
You can really hear all of her influences, and it's like she just put it in a bowl and stirred it up.
Harpist Brandy Younger has made a specialty of Coltrane's music. In addition to the chanting, she hears the gospel from Coltrane's Detroit childhood. And some out-of-this-world synthesizer playing. In order to understand Coltrane's music, you also have to think about the era she was living through, says Courtney Bryan. She's a pianist and assistant professor of music at Tulane University in New Orleans.
During the 60s, the whole spirituality and black culture became more diverse, or at least more recognizably diverse. So I find it interesting how the spiritual can be political, because there's the artists who are very clearly were doing political music at that time, and it seemed very political to be able to focus on the other plane through music, but a different kind of political.
And leaving the music business afforded Alice Coltrane more musical freedom, says Brandy Younger.
I like how she doesn't follow rules in terms of being able to record the music she wanted to record without having label pressure, without having peer pressure to do a certain thing according to what's going on at the time. There's no box to be clumped into.
Eventually, Alice Coltrane did go back into the studio, coaxed by her son Ravi, just a few years before her death in 2007. That material became her first commercial recording in more than a quarter century. Ravi Coltrane says his mother approached the recording studio almost as if she was in the ashram.
When it was time, it was time. When it wasn't time, it wasn't time. We'd booked these very long sessions, but she'd come in, and an hour later, she'd say, okay, I think that's good for today. I'd say, Ma, we blocked the whole studio up. We got another 8 hours. So she's like, no, I think that we got it today. We'll come back tomorrow and do some more.
Ravi Coltrane says he and his family were reluctant to let the very personal ashram recordings be commercially released. And yet, it's important for music fans to hear the totality of her work and have a greater understanding of her spirit.
She was very, very, very unique. Very unique person. And had a life, I would imagine, like very few people might have.
Anastasia Tsoulikas, NPR News, New York.